On the show today, we have HBW Advisory Services' Joe Bonanno talking about more regulations are the wrong answer to the Equifax breach. So check it out.
NAFQ Services offers a peer-vetted portfolio of trusted providers. Our preferred partners are your proven partners. Their support enables NAFQ to be the most powerful advocate for credit unions. NAFQ Services, supporting credit union success for over 40 years.
Welcome to our show, and on today's program, we're talking a little bit more Equifax, like everybody else is on planet Earth, it seems like. But we're talking with Mr. Joe Bonanno from HBW Advisory Services. Joe, how are you, sir?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Good.
Thank you very much.
Hey, we're talking more regulations is the wrong answer for the Equifax breach. I mean, that seems to be kind of like the knee-jerk reaction to any type of major breach. Oh, regulations, why is this a bad idea? What's going on?
Well, first of all, knee-jerk reactions are your primal brain, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not usually the first thing you want to do if you're living in a civilized society to begin with.
True.
But I think it's a bad idea because it only takes a few minutes of careful thought to think about what the structure of data security and breaches and all that. And I don't want to give too long of an answer, but there are three phases. You protect the data, you protect the application of credit or government benefits, as the case may be,
mm-hmm.
or you simply penalize and try and provide indemnity, financial indemnity for what goes on. If you look at the first one, the battle's already lost. I make the point, I'm still on free credit protection from the last breach that I was subject to. I've had my identity stolen. Well, not stolen necessarily, but my data breached
right.
four times already in the last decade.
Goodness.
That battle's over. Just yesterday and this morning, the SEC said their systems were hacked for insider trading information. So it's happening every day. So the third part of that question is, you can't protect the data. You can't really force indemnity. It's too expensive. The credit card companies can do it because they're charging 24% on the average person's interest rate.
Mm-hmm.
So what do? You got to protect the application for credit. And those systems are already pretty good.
Yeah.
The credit card systems are very, very good.
Yeah.
The government is trying to make progress on stopping tax returns and Social Security payments and things like that. But to me, that middle round is already working. Why would you add regulation to something? And even if you do, how do you know who to hold responsible?
Good point.
Once your data is out there, it's out there.
Yep. Yeah.
How can I prove it was Equifax that caused the problem?
Exactly. So, is there an answer for this breach? I mean, it's a pretty significant one, because I've talked to a lot of folks and read a lot of stories that this one's a bit more significant than the other ones. Like, I mean, the other ones were serious, of course, but this one has like your driver's license number, your home address, social security number.
It's complete, right? It's exactly what the credit card. What they're supposed to use to protect you.
Right.
That's really the issue. And the fact that it's a company that monitors credit is sort of a sad irony in the
exactly.
whole thing.
Exactly. I was thinking that too.
So the breach itself was really simple. It was an oversight. It's somebody didn't patch a server, right? It's pretty basic. The answer is, for the consumer and for advisors who are trying to talk to consumers, and you really need to monitor your credit. You don't necessarily need to freeze it, but you need to monitor it.
Okay.
If you catch things within the first 60 days, you're usually much better protected against actually owning any of the losses. I mean, generally, people don't own the losses, but who wants to spend a year convincing the IRS that they didn't file their taxes already or
right.
whatever the situation may be? The answer is to monitor your credit.
So our new normal now is for everyone to kind of monitor their own credit when we've just kind of gone about our day not even thinking about it. Now we have to it's up to, the onus is almost on the consumer now to monitor their own credit. Is that a true statement? Or
I think it is. I think, you get out of life what you put in, and even at this point in the stage, if you're not protecting your own credit, then you're not doing yourself a favor. We're all working to build these livelihoods. You don't want them taken from you.
Right.
It's not an expensive, not real expensive, but it's not real time consuming.
Yeah, so I mean, it kind of goes along with, okay, let's go change the oil in the car. Let's go mow the lawn. Oh, let's check our credit. So
that's kind of how I view it. I mean, credit's valuable too, right? People, one of the most broadest areas of complaints is people trying to repair their credit.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of charlatans out there trying to do credit repair, and that's a whole other ball of wax.
Yeah, yeah.
you know, and also, you know, the other thing to point out is the focus is on all this data, right? It's all about data. It's servers being hacked. No matter what the story is, it's always a server being hacked. But the truth is most of it's perpetrated over the telephone. People call up, they impersonate the bank, they impersonate the credit card company, they capture the data that way. I was looking at, the FTC publishes a fact book, they call it the Consumer Sentinel. It has all the fraud data in it. They do it every year. And the numbers are fascinating. So the number one area for actual monetary loss is still wire fraud.
Really?
But the percentage of transactions that are successful is very small.
Yeah.
If you look at their chart, and I was just looking at the 2016 fact book, the number of incidents for wire fraud is through the roof. It's the classic email or other thing where they say, you know, please help me win the African lottery, yeah, and all that kind of stuff. And people actually fall for it. It's amazing. Well, some people do, but so it's a very interesting world, but the consumer should be fine as they monitor their credit, and that is the normal. I think we've been approaching that new normal for years.
So as far as advice goes, that's pretty much the primary advice that what advisors should be telling consumers out there is like, okay, it's time to add a new responsibility to your long list of responsibilities now. And the new one is monitoring your credit on a daily basis.
I think so. I mean, well, first of all, if an advisor is talking to the client, I tell advisors they should actually add that as a benefit.
Oh,
pay for it if you need to.
Good point.
Ask your advisor if they recommend a service, and advisors will probably begin offering that as a pay, you know, as an additional benefit to doing business with them. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, no doubt. How does the average consumer have trust? I know this is kind of an out of left field question, but how does a consumer have trust in an organization that has their information? I mean, is it just kind of like, is it blind trust these days that, okay, well, you know what, my information's at Target, my information's at Home Depot, my information's at Equifax. I'd have to trust that they're going to keep it secure when a lot of the time.
Yeah, it is pretty much blind trust, isn't it? I mean, there is no other answer than that. There are a lot of people who fight it. They don't want to put their details on any kind of application. If they're leasing a car or whatever they're doing, going for a loan at the bank, they don't even want to give anybody anything. And it's a convenience factor. I mean, when you file for Social Security, you go to a website, you fill out a form, and you hit click. They've got to do a better job of identifying people on the front end. And one of my points there would be, let's use technology. Let's let the technology evolve instead of asking the government to come up with a solution.
Right.
If I've got a thumbprint scanner on my smartphone that tells people who I am, why can't I use my thumbprint to identify myself before I file for Social Security or file my taxes?
Perfect. Yeah. Yeah. Biometrics, man.
Solved a gigantic amount of the ability for people to perpetrate the fraud. You know, without getting too macabre about people running around cutting fingers off or something, I think that would probably work pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, this couldn't have happened at a better time with the iPhone 10 coming out with the facial recognition and the Face ID, and you know, there's a lot of that going out with all the other technology companies and things like that. So there's a lot of that. Yeah, I'm totally agree with you. Why not implement this type of stuff?
You bring up a good point. So right now, I think the thumbprint's probably the most reliable, right?
Sure.
If you saw the Apple release, they had some problems with their facial recognition. But you know, then there's DNA. The cost of getting your DNA sequence, you know, the Human Genome Project a few years ago was billions of dollars. They'd finally sequenced the whole genome. Now there are companies that will produce equipment that costs you less than $1,000 to fully sequence your own DNA.
Really?
And at the rate of decline, that's going to be almost in 5 to 10 years, that'll be free.
Wow. And so we can use that as a security measure?
Well, wouldn't it be the best possible way to do it?
Sure.
I mean, I don't know. I can't think of anything more unique than that. I mean, even although I'm not a geneticist, there might be some issues with identical twins. Who knows?
Possibly. All right, to wrap up here, Joe, I mean, where do we go from here? I mean, obviously, we've talked about this is the new normal. We've talked about biometrics. I didn't even expect to go down that road, but there we are. We're there. So what other things do you to kind of wrap up here?
Well, I mean, I think that as people are scared, they need to take some kind of action, and monitoring their credit is a really good idea. I mean, that's really, if you accept the new normal, that's great. Don't jump to conclusions about what the government can do. I mean, the government essentially has two issues. I'm going to go back to the original question. Why not regulate it? Do you trust them to understand the problem well enough to come up with the right solution? We're dealing with technology. My answer is No.
Yeah.
Second law, do you trust them to understand the unintended consequences of, you know, understand the problem and understand the consequences of the solution? The answer is no there too. How can they keep up with biometrics and all the server technology that goes on? They really can't. It's just about identifying the person when they apply credit. And again, I think the system's already doing that.
Yeah. All righty. Good words to live by, Joe. Thank you so much for your time today. And let's do this again down the road. See where we are. It'd be fun.
Absolutely love to. Thank you.
Very cool. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it, man.
NAFQ Services offers a peer-vetted portfolio of trusted providers. Our preferred partners are your proven partners. Their support enables NAFQ to be the most powerful advocate for credit unions. NAFQ Services, supporting credit union success for over 40 years.